Good evening, Dragon Con.
Can you hear me without the mic?
Try again. Try again. Luke, I am your father.
Oh, perfect.
Good evening, Dragon Con.
Hello, guys. Welcome.
It is 11:30 on Saturday night. Do I not get a better reception than that? Y'all are in here avoiding the party to come and have a really informed, really educational, and slightly disturbing topic for conversation. I want to thank everybody for coming out on Saturday night. I want everybody to go and say, give themselves a nice round of applause. So, a couple of words of warning. We are going to go through a lot of probably potentially disturbing topics. We are probably going to make a few smart-ass comments, i.e. me. But understand, everything we're talking about here, everything we say, everything we do, is done with very purposeful intent. We're doing this because this is an important topic. This is one that, when it was brought to us, can you be on the panel, can you be here to do this, is one that I will tell you, pretty much everybody looked and said, you're insane to touch this. So I want to say that I thank all of you guys coming out to listen to this conversation. If you're coming in for a misogynistic conversation about backlash to Me Too, that's not what this is. If you're coming out from a point of anger about Me Too, that's not what this is. We're coming out here to have a conversation because we know the bullshit that's been going on, not for 10 years, not for 20 years, not for 50 years, not for the Weinstein age, not for the last 100 years. We understand where we're coming from. We understand where things have been. We understand the problems that there are. We're coming out to have a conversation about how do we start to develop a healthy, integrated society from everybody from a multitude of directions. Me Too is simply one perspective on the problem that has highlighted and brought to light something that has been a drastic issue for a very long time. We know that there are a number of people that are assholes in the world. We know there are people that mistreat, abuse, and do things wrong. That's not the majority of us. But every damn one of us that is in this room also, at some point in time, has done something we look back at now, especially based in a new light, a new context, and go and say, was that really right? Was that really appropriate? Should I have done something different? Did I have this? Did I have that? We all make mistakes. We're human. We're going to talk about some of that. But that's not what the Me Too movement's about. The Me Too movement is about assholes who use power, who use authority, who do illegal and coercive acts using power. And it's become a large movement. But that's not what the majority of us are here for. The majority of us have been impacted by a variety of things in our lives, and the backlash of this movement has come out and affected us as a society. So what we want to do tonight is go and say, we know this has happened. Undoubtedly, there's people in this room who have been affected by it in a very negative way. So don't take anything that any panelist says in a negative light, because we're here to have this as a conversation. And I appreciate the fact that all of you have come out this evening. And again, this is a serious topic. We may make some light jokes. We may do a few things because it's Saturday night at Dragon Con and we want to have a little fun too. But again, part of that is also having the conversation because we want to help our people heal. That's part of why we have these cons. This is part of the reason we do these things. We can come underneath a group, a society, a background of beliefs, because we have beliefs in fandom and knowledge and information and backgrounds. And this is a place that you can come express and be yourself that typically most people can't do in quote-unquote open society. Oh, somebody cranked up my mic. Y'all are in trouble now. Oh, you couldn't hear all that? I hope you don't expect me to repeat it because I don't remember it. But anyway, I am Jim Nettles. I will be your moderator this evening, and I will probably be running my mouth more than I should. I am a fiction and a nonfiction author. I have worked in technology for better than 30 years. I have worked in technology since I was a kid. I have dealt with a lot of social media, a lot of high-end e-commerce applications. I also have a background in anthropology, study of people, study of culture, study of where we're at, study of history. So when I come from perspectives, I am the old fat white guy sitting on the top of this panel. I should be wearing a nice big target on my chest. I acknowledge that. I'm sitting here, and yet I'm sitting here as well for everybody in this crowd. So I'm going to let the rest of my panelists introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Adrienne McDonald, and I am a coach. I typically coach around intimacy issues. Most of my clients are heterosexual males in the age range of 35 to 55. Y'all heard that right. Right. So that is what I do. I also do have a background in technology that I am desperately trying to forget, but yet it keeps haunting me for some reason. But that is why I am on this panel.
Hello. I've been answered to many names, but currently I write under Dance Harden, science fantasy and blogging about geeky things on WordPress and Facebook. In the 90s, I worked as a burlesque dancer traveling around the eastern United States. I had the company's first lesbian and cross-dressing routine. After that, I had an S&M show out of Knoxville, Tennessee. We performed at the first Ethel Lollapalooza there in Newport in 1996. After that, I went to college. I studied psychology and social sciences and media studies. Now I work in the healthcare field and at night write and blog about all things geeky. So.
And one more thing I'm going to throw out there. Was anybody in this room at our sex tech panel last year, this time? I know a couple of you guys were.
Thank you for coming back and showing some love. Thank you.
Yes, we did, and we will do so again. Buy your panelists alcohol. So, all right, let's start with the first question. And I'm going to throw this to my panelists. I'm not touching this one. So, let's kind of set a baseline for where we are in a cultural basis.
Okay, so first of all, I'd like to rewind just a bit. So, the Me Too panel, for a lot of people, Me Too in general, was not really very common knowledge until last year when it came out with Harvey Weinstein and the crowd, right? But the Me Too has been going on since about 2006 is when Tarina Burke started that effort. It came to mainstream, if you will, when Alyssa Milano tweeted out after the Harvey Weinstein stuff came about. But it was originally, the Me Too movement was to shed a light on sexual abuse in the community for those that are marginalized and not getting a lot of recognition. So I want to acknowledge that. It's really taken off, time's up. Those types of hashtags are really trendy, but that is where it started from. I think that from my standpoint, when this came out, it was probably about a month after Dragon Con last year, when these accusations came out, that I started getting text screenshots and whatnot, where my clients, because like I said, I mostly coach men, really started coming out with fear of, oh my God, what am I doing? This stuff's going on. They would text me Snapchat screenshots of Twitter feeds of, I don't really care if innocent men go down as long as the patriarchal society goes down. What do you think about this? And I'm like, well, I don't think that collectively moves us forward. I think we need to have conversations. I think that we need to have open communication, and this is really not anything that we've not talked about before. It's just in a different particular light. So I think there is a lot of fear out there when it comes to the people that I coach, which are, like I said, primarily men. I think that prior to this event, I went out and talked to, I did like little mini focus groups around different age dynamics, a little bit younger, because I was curious to see if the dynamic was a little bit different there. And still a lot of fear, but not only on the male side, but also on the female side, also in some of the trans community. It's like, we don't know what to do now because this stuff is coming up and we'd like to have conversations, but there's this awkwardness. So that's what I'm seeing. But I, again, given the demographic that I coach, there is a lot of fear. There's also a lot, not only in the about dating, but also in the work environment as well, because there was a couple of people that are like, now I don't know what to say at work, now I'm worried about my career. So it's had this effect in multiple different areas of people's lives, and it's this, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, I don't think I'm an asshole, but I'm not sure. That's what I've seen. How about yourself?
Oh boy. Well, yeah, so life is complicated. What I've seen is, I mean, in the job I have, my day job, I see it from both angles. I've been falsely accused of sexual harassment, and I've also been a victim of sexual assault. I've experienced sexual harassment in the workplace, but then also in the workplace been falsely accused. And yeah, there is definitely that fear, there's that paranoia, there's that looking back and, oh, I grabbed that actor's ass a few years ago at Dragon Con, that's probably a little assaulty. And I think it just takes a lot of courage to look at your actions, look at everybody else's, and have the courage to have these conversations, mm-hmm. and the honesty to say that maybe my paranoia comes from guilt, mm-hmm. or maybe it comes from mommy or daddy issues, or maybe I really am an asshole. Maybe I need to work on that. I think really just what we need is honesty and courage to get through this.
I know guys that there are decent human beings that have really stood up for everyone, and it has really made them reflect on their behavior. This has made me reflect on my own behavior, mm-hmm. Because I'm a touchy-feely person. So, and I'm like, God, you know, was that appropriate? Should I have asked? And consent in general is such a complex issue. And it's not something that we're taught. It's not something that we really want to talk about, because we still want the romance. We still want the courting. We still want that dynamic. Mm-hmm. But there is this different thing that is running through a lot of people's brains right now. So I think that when people come to me in fear, I find that disturbing, because I don't want people to be in fear. I don't want men to be in fear. I don't want women to be in fear. What I want them to do is reflect, mm-hmm. and talk and have conversations. And that's, it's really challenging. Challenging.
That's what I like so much about the kink community, is that there is a structure there.
There is a structure
Part of the culture is that you have these conversations at the beginning of the relationship. You talk about your do's, your don'ts. It's not at all like 50 Shades of Grey. Please don't ever read those books. And you discuss what you want to do, what you're willing to do, what you'd like to experiment with, and you get to really get into your own deep psychology,
yeah.
and have really honest conversations with your partners the way that everybody should be having, and also having to have that conversation with yourself too. So
I'll challenge you on the 50 Shades of Grey, because here's what, they were shitty books. They really, I mean, from a literacy standpoint, I mean, all authors I know are like, oh my God, it was totally poor written.
Needs an editor.
But here's the thing, it brought to life a different conversations that brought sex out into the mainstream, where so much of it has been
in the darkness, yeah,
right?
Yes.
So that's the only thing I'll say about that.
Some of us did not realize it was in the darkness, though. We didn't know that there were people that were repressed.
So many. So that's why I have clients. So I'm good with that.
So if we look at things and some of the conversations I've had leading up to this and talking to people generationally. So from a professional standpoint, a lot of the time I deal with having conversations about user experience from a technological standpoint. We talk about how we interface with technology, how we use these things, and there's no way we can't argue about the fact that this has changed our society. And so when I've talked to people I know that are in their teens and 20s versus those that are in their 30s, those that are in their 40s, those that are in their 50s, those that are older, if we look at the way that this has sort of affected how we interface with people, because if you're over a certain age, you're used to being able to have that dance, that conversation, a little bit of romance. And we were just talking about that interface, that romance with people between two human beings, three human beings, 12 human beings, furries. If you're having that conversation, if you're in that connection between two people, but yet we've seen technology affect how we actually build those relationships, and from my opinion, again, my opinion, this technology has also affected our ability to create a personal connection so that those people who have had to build those skills versus those who have not over time, you know, if we're in the Tinder swipe left, swipe right, swipe up, swipe to the left, swipe to the king, swipe to the, you know, paddle, swipe to wherever, if you're in that space, this has disconnected that dance of creating a personal chemical connection to it's a transaction. What do you guys think?
That social media has made relationships more transactional?
Well, technology in general.
Not just social media, dating apps. So if you're out there, you're on, whether apps. It's Tinder, Grindr, Match.
They're exhausting.
So eHarmony. If you're on these different platforms, whether you're trying to date or you're trying to get a hookup.
For me, if you take away the personal chemistry, I can't connect over, at least not with pictures. You know, I wish dating apps were more like LiveJournal, and then I might have some success with them. But yeah.
But I think there's a couple of things there. I think that when it comes to consent being affected, I think that when you have the interaction not in person, you assume a certain level of familiarity, mm-hmm. And then when you meet the person, then all of your senses are now online. So, and I think that some people assume that they're much more familiar with a person mm-hmm. than they are.
Yes.
And then things get a little muddled. Mm-hmm. And I've heard, it's very, very interesting because when it comes to consent, I've heard she didn't say no. And then I've heard from the other side of, well, he should know what I want. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, did you have a conversation? And there's, well, no. And that's where
there's too much assumptions going on.
There's a lot of assumptions. There's a lot of assumptions on both sides, yes. And I think that's where we get into a really difficult dynamic, mm-hmm. because you're bringing all your shit to the relationship. You're bringing your belief systems. You're bringing your whatever. I deal a lot with purity culture, so it's a you know, I want this, but sex is dirty type of...
Well, and your point of view is limited by your own experiences
exactly.
and what the media you've been taking in.
Exactly.
And you assume that everyone else has seen all the things that you do and believe the way that you do.
Right.
And you don't even stop to think, oh, maybe this person is an individual with their own beliefs, their own media intake, and maybe we should talk about who we are actually instead of trying to play out these roles that we think we're supposed to be playing out.
And social media, I think, is prompted a lot more of this is the way I present myself publicly. This
right.
is what it's the illusion. It's the keeping
right.
up with the Joneses amplified by 100 because I have taken 20 selfies and I've used Facetune and I've used Snapseed and I've made myself look X, Y, and Z. to be attracted to the other person, and it makes things more difficult. And that I hear, it's exhausting to date. It was exhausting to date, and I am not a young person, as you probably can notice. It was exhausting to date, like in my 20s and as a teenager and whatnot. I can only imagine what, and I've gotten feedback from the younger sect now, because you up level a bit from the illusion standpoint.
I'm not even sure if I should talk about my most recent dating experiences. We're supposed to be not hating here. Just
elevate. Learning experiences. We call those learning experiences, or the people you buried in the backyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people getting too many scripts from porn, I think.
or thinking that porn is reality, right? So there is a lady by the name of Cindy Gallup, and she has a site called Make Love Not Porn started because, and I love her, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so much,
awesome.
So much, because it's the, hey, little clue, that shit's not real. And for you out there that think it's real, it's not. And for you that think, oh, no one would think it's real, I have personally coached people that actually thought that was the way you engaged the other sex. And it was a very difficult thing to break.
Even if they don't consciously think it's real, we, in our psychology and the way we learn, just if you watch something more enough, we are in
condition.
Yeah, we just want to emulate it automatically. That's how humans learn in the first place.
And especially if you come from where sex was not taught or
If you're starting out with nothing,
that just really
and you have no counter messages or anything,
it really
like
amplifies it.
Right.
So.
And I'm going to cut in here because, again, we want this to be a dialogue.
Yeah.
We have our first question, and we'll be taking questions off and on, and I'm going to be cutting in and because there's some things I want to make sure we discuss. But we have our first caller, and you're from?
I'm from Florida by the bases, so I'm obviously going to be jaded by certain aspects of being around military bases. When the digital agers finally confide in their elders, that, and since I'm older, that would be me.
I after, have gray hair too, it's okay.
Yeah, whenever you get over the shell shock of what they have done or are planning to do, how do you approach their mentality versus the fact that I'm more than likely gonna be more conservative than that? Like, they've opened up and they've confided in you, and now you have to react to the situation. You have no understanding of how they have gotten there, related to these apps that are seeming impersonal, and they're now in this perilous relationship or so.
So let me make sure I understand the question.
Yes.
Or restate it here. So if you're engaging with another person across an app.
No. A younger generation comes to you and says, I have X problem. I've never dealt with X problem, but now they've confided in you and now you gotta react to it. How do you consult them on that?
So how, can you give me an example of what the problem is? Or
let me cut in very generically for a minute. So, old guy. But I've coached a lot of kids over the years I've known since they were little kids, that are now in their teens and their 20s, and I'm loath to say it, even one or two when they're pushing 30. But I've known them, I've known their families, I've known their parents, and these are kids that have long since reached out to me at a much younger generation, and their families are, they were saying, if he calls you, it's fine. You can tell them whatever you think is best, which I question their judgment, but we'll go with the idea. I frequently go and say, look, the first thing is, how well do you understand the other person's opinion? How well are you connecting on an emotional basis? And do you have empathy? So if somebody, because I will tell you, there's a lot of these kids that call me, and I deal with a lot of very high functioning, in some case autistic, very brilliant people. So I'm dealing with some people who already have some social awkwardness, that already have some of these sorts of things. And it's like, okay, can you empathize with the situation? Because the part of the problem I've noticed is from a technological generation, we lose empathy. We lose connection. So the first thing is, are you connecting at an emotional level, or is it just, damn, she's hot? So it's the first question is, how are you connecting? Now I'll pass this to my panelists.
Well, and the other thing is, when someone I engage with, my first conversation with them and my first questions around how solid are they within themselves? Because if you know who you are and if you know what you want and what your intent is, then that drives a different direction versus if you're coming from a people pleaser standpoint or if you're trying to, it changes the entire dynamic. And if you are very solid within yourself and know what you want and what your intent is, you're significantly less likely to be triggered by another person's actions. And even within a younger set, all the way up to 60, that is probably the first thing that I instill, is having those types of conversations like that.
So I actually like that question, because hopefully one day I will be a foster mother, adoptive parent to kids. So how do you counsel?
Will you adopt me? And pay my bar tabs?
You haven't been kicked out of your house by your parents. So. So how would I counsel a kid who's dealing with issues I don't understand because of the media, social, digital things? So we're all humans, and even though they're living in a completely different world than the one I grew up in, we're all still people, we're all still humans, you're still having the same generic adolescent issues, mm-hmm. It's just through a different platform now. I would try to engage with them about these things that you don't understand and learn what it means to them, what actually is going on, listen to them, let them tell their side, and then start from there, you know?
Yeah.
All right, do we have another question before I go to my next topic? Okay, yeah. I know we've got a couple. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for having this. This is really an amazing panel. I agree with everything you've said. I think it should be starting conversations. I don't know if it is. Like, I think I mostly talk about this with my male friends, which is unfortunate probably, but.
Thank you.
Sure. but I wonder, of the people that are like, you know, Weinstein, Cosby, versus say like Garrison Keillor, where it seems like an inappropriate hug, versus, you know, rape. And it seems like, you know, other than Garrison Keillor isn't going to jail, that in some extent, everyone's sort of being treated the same way. For things that are very different behaviors. And I'm glad this is happening, and I think it should be happening, but I'm kind of wonder what the ultimate, how this is gonna eventually keep going forward and proceeding. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does, because I think that this is one of the subjects that this particular movement is shying away from, and it's called a spectrum, right?
Yes.
We have this is an extremely complex issue, and it is a very wide spectrum, and this is why I'm very passionate about this particular subject, is because we don't take into account a spectrum. We like to have everything be very, very uniform, and I think that that is wrong. I think that that is causing a lot of the churn and the fear. Especially with the guys that I deal with, because I think there is this huge gray area, because I think there are people that know that they are doing things that are inappropriate and coercive and wrong. Weinstein is probably a good example of that, in my opinion, because, I mean, he hired ex-Mossad agents for intimidation practices and et cetera. But I have personally dealt with men who brought me examples or we talk through things that did not have the awareness until I walk them through it of, okay, now I understand, or maybe I need to think about that, or whatnot. So I do think that there is a spectrum. I don't think all things are equal. And I think that from a female standpoint, some of the things that I don't like seeing is trauma one-upping. Trigger warning,
yeah.
Just so you guys know. I have personally experienced trauma one-upping, which is your trauma is not as traumatic as my trauma because I went through X. Or your trauma is not as traumatizing as mine because you recovered faster. I've been sexually assaulted, and I've been judged because I had went to therapy and I got over it faster than another person. And I'm like, really? That we're participate? That's what we're doing now? And I think that they don't collectively move us forward. And I think that we're losing forgiveness. We're losing the fact that someone did this, depending on what it was. They may have made some really crude remarks. I'll go ahead and bring out the James Gunn thing. I think that James Gunn made some shock jock type remarks, and he, by all accounts, and again, this is through the media lens, so we take that with a grain of salt, right? Grew from his experience, because I do think that people can grow, but suffer the consequences. And then you have someone who has done the casting couch and or drugged people and taken advantage of them and whatnot, which is another extreme. So I think that there is a significant spectrum on this issue that a lot of people are not talking about. We're also not talking about all the people on both sides that participated in a pseudo-consent, because there is this, when you are in a position of power, wealth, privilege, influence, you have a certain level of charisma. And when you are in, I was in DC for about 5 years. So when you're in the presence of that person, you might feel drawn in and then have regret later. So that also, or if you went and all the people, because there are a significant amount of women that actually consented to Harvey Weinstein. That's the reason why he was able to do this for so long. And the shame that those women are feeling right now, because God knows they're not going to come forward. They're like, oh my God, what does that make me? And the self-loathing that's on that, that's also part of that spectrum. So it's, I do believe that there is a spectrum. I do believe that there are people that can acknowledge and go, you know, I'm sorry, that was inappropriate. Thank you for telling me. But I think that's part of the dialogue we have to have. Do I think that every person's career should be destroyed, male or female, because this also happens to a lot more men than come to light. And we also like to brush off the men a little bit more. I had a conversation with a gentleman last week who's like, women touch me all the time. I'm a personal trainer and they touch me all the time. They know I'm married. And they make passes at me. I show up to their house to train them. They're in lingerie. It happens to me all the time. Mm-hmm. But because I'm a former football player, I can't talk about that. It makes me very uncomfortable, but I'm not allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, I hear that a lot from my male coworkers, women flashing their breasts and things like that. And yeah. The two things jumped to my mind with your question. One was Al Franken. Yeah, that was not, I saw it coming in the distance. Everyone's just, they don't think, they want to pile on, they get fearful. They're like, well, I have to fire this person, I have to make this gigantic big public statement, or else everybody will think that I'm a rapist too, and right. Don't want that. And the other one was the Orville episode, where everybody's, yeah, try in the court of public opinion. And that was excellent, so excellent, because that's exactly what we're doing. We're not having any conversations.
Right.
We're just automatically, you're guilty, go to jail, don't pass go, you know, and that's it. And now a wonderful man's career is destroyed because he did stupid shit. We definitely need to think more.
We've got a question over here.
Okay, so one of the things I was thinking about the spectrum is that, like, if you're a guy like me, okay, I want to stay 100% on the good side. You know, I don't want to, like, stray into any of the gray area, okay? But what happens, I think, is, like, when something like, you know, a hug becomes something that's in the gray area, like, that means that that's more and more, I guess, normal good things that I'd like to do get into the gray area, and that's frustrating. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it's frustrating and confusing.
So let me actually cut in a minute. As old guy, I can be touchy-feely. I'm, you know, like, say, with those people that I'm close to, my friends, everything else, give them a hug, give them a kiss, keep moving forward. It's all about what's that relationship you have with the person, and what's the it used to be implied consent.
Yeah, that doesn't work anymore.
And there's still a certain degree of that, and I'm an ass. I openly admit that. But at the same time, I will also openly do anything I can to defend people. And, you know, I'm a big boy. I can defend myself. You know, harassment comes both ways. Standing in a kilt, I do a lot of events. I do a lot of conventions. I do a lot of speaking. You stand in there as a guest, and the next thing that happens is, you know, the girl comes by and slaps you on the ass. I've long since learned to go and say, okay, great, move on. If you're not buying me a drink at the bar, let's keep going. But from a consent standpoint, it depends on the relationship you have with the person. And it's a completely legitimate question in context of where we are. Because the risk is where we are is now the next thing becomes, hi, my name is so-and-so, can I give you a hug? Used to be that. Now are we down to signed contracts? Are we down to digital contracts between? Yes, the hug can be sideways. Now can the hug be face forward? Oh, well, can that hug now actually involve physical bodily contact? And I know I'm kind of going to an absurdity, but we're kind of going that way. And if you look at some of what the apps are doing in terms of the technology, when you start introducing people in a virtual sense that have not physically been introduced, you're actually seeing some of those applications now having a digital consent step by step. But so, I mean, consent is very different today from what it used to be. And part of that is because we as people don't trust each other anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not just silence is not consent. It never really has been consent. But in a lot of cases, it was assumed to be consent. And I come from a standpoint of there's accountability on all genders, no matter how you identify, as being able to have a voice of, in fact, so I had my Me Too moment before my Me Too panel.
About 2 hours ago,
talking about the Me Too panel. I was in the Ritz bar. I was having a drink. I was alone, and a rather inebriated gentleman sat beside me, and he started having a conversation with me, and I was like, I'm just here having my glass of wine, please, you know, and he's like, why are you here? You know, he's one of the football guys, so he's just one of the straights, as we call them at Dragon Con, right? And he offered to buy me another drink, and I'm like, no, I've got to speak in a couple hours. I want to pace myself, even though it's Saturday night. Thank you very much, blah, blah, blah. And he kept going. And then it was, what are you speaking on? And then I thought, oh, here we go. So, and I told him. And then it was he was in his probably mid-50s. And then he did the reach and the touching thing. And I'm like, oh, this is some irony. But it's that type of thing. I think that I think what people don't pay attention to, especially when they're getting to a dating situation, is because they're so in their head, because they're trying to interact with the person, is they don't pay attention to verbal cues, and they don't pay attention to energy. And I think that goes back to, I do think it's a lot of it has to do with confidence, because if you're confident, you're not as much in their head and you're just sort of trying there to have fun. But I think it comes down to, if you ever have a question, instead of hugging, put your hand out. More come from an invitation standpoint, or take the risk of vulnerability, because you will always come on the positive side rather than on the negative side in that regard.
So I'm actually really big into the whole asking thing. I'm kind of bad with verbal, with social cues myself. So I'm always just, can I hug you? No, and if somebody asks me, can I hug you? I'm like, no, that's okay. Thanks anyway. But I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
It goes back to how complex it is.
Yeah, I was gonna say. The thing is, a lot of times people approach someone and they have all these assumptions in their head. They have their script in their head. They have their coaching in their head. And they're so focused on what's in their own head that they're almost not paying any attention at all to the person that they're talking to.
Yeah.
And they're imagining things are happening because it's all this coaching in their head.
Yeah.
And I think that you should just get out of your damn head. Look at the person in front of you and what they're giving you or not giving you.
Because energy doesn't lie. It really doesn't, and body language really.
Yeah, now body language. Yeah, you should be able to tell if someone's pulling away from you just by looking at them. So yeah.
So all right, before I go to the next one, I think we have one more question, or we may have more.
I have one. So with the lack of a treatment spectrum for all of these incidents, do you think that this willingness to paint everybody with a broad brush is related to those little casual microaggressions, like the uninvited dick pic, or a woman getting slapped on the ass in the subway and not being able to see who it was that was grinding up against her? Do you think that those things are related?
I do think that there is some buildup on it, because I think that's one of the reasons why we see such the large almost mob mentality around that, because it's like, I am sick of this bullshit. And gentlemen, please, just don't do the dick pic. Please do not do that, unless you're doing sexting, which, hey man, I'm all about the sexting, but don't send an unsolicited dick pic, because one of two things are happening. Either A, they're like, oh God, why? They're either mortified or they're sitting there with their girlfriends going, well, I got another one. And I'm really not impressed. And I will tell you, I have received two dick pics in the last year, and I haven't been on the dating scene in a little while, right? And I'm like, and these are for two men that know I'm married. And I'm like, why did you think this was a good idea? Did you want me to rate you? What? I don't understand. But no, please don't do the dick pic unless you're in a sexting conversation. Then that's a whole different other panel.
And I'm going to make one more comment here just to warn you guys that are sending out the dick pics. I know young ladies that will do things like put googly eyes on them and then post them and send them around. They'll put a unicorn horn on it. They'll start putting ratings on them. And they're not good.
And the ratings are never good. Never good.
Oh, yeah.
I usually use Richard Nixon, but that's because I'm old.
I would respond to if you sent me a picture of Nightwing, I would respond favorably to that. Yeah,
props
especially
your creativity.
Yeah, especially if Starfire's in the picture with him. So there's a lot of frustration and internal anger going on on both sides, in my opinion. You've got the incels on one side, and then you've got the overly distressed women on the other side. And I feel like everyone is walking around like a ball of rage these days over something. And it's almost kind of healthy that maybe we're kind of maybe finally addressing it. We're just addressing it in unhealthy ways. Yeah. But at least now maybe some of it is getting out. And if we don't get it out, we can't see it and we can't talk about it.
Yeah.
But I think most people need to really start examining themselves more. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like the Greek aphorism, you need to know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than just, I don't know, knowing if you're the one or not. It's knowing what you're thinking, knowing why you're thinking it, knowing what you're feeling and why you're feeling it, and acknowledging those thoughts and those feelings. And it's okay. They're just thoughts and they're just feelings. You don't need to go act on them. You don't need to be hateful to someone or assume that someone is having some sort of motivation towards you that maybe they're not. Maybe they're just a little too drunk, or maybe they have no social skills, or maybe they're barely even noticing you. But because you've got all this anger that you've been carrying around all day, you automatically assume that that person is attacking you. And so,
well, and that goes back to another, I think, thing on the spectrum is when we consume adult beverages or engage in adult
half-naked geek parties.
It's something along those lines. There is accountability on all sides, regardless, right? And I really do like your kink community analogy, because I think that there is a lot to be gained by that. From acknowledgement of consent or whatnot. But I see the, well, I was drunk, but he should have X, Y, and Z. Well, he was drunk too, so you want his behavior to be perfect and yours to be, you can do whatever you want. That's not right either, right? So I think that everybody has to take accountability for themselves.
Well, personal responsibility. If you're in public and you're drinking so much that you are not in control of your actions, then you're not an adult and you need to go home to your parents and, you know, relearn some things.
Yeah. We got the 10 minutes, so let us pass the magic box around.
All right. I got it. Ultimately, I'm going to ask, how do you get the conversation started? But when it comes to courtship and, you know, dating and all of that, some women like to be pursued.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of men, like this fellow over here, want to be the nice guy. You know, there's so many gray areas, I'm just going to stay away from there. And the woman's going like, he's not willing to touch me. He's not interested in me. What am I doing wrong?
that does happen. I've had that conversation with both sides of the house as well.
So, and I think this is also a generational difference, because right now, if we look at things from a generational standpoint, talking as the old guy who hadn't had to deal with dating and God hated it enough when it was having to do it, when we're going out and trying to date and you're trying to go through that, as you refer to it, the dance of courtship, we don't do that anymore.
No.
If you're over a certain age, you remember and you understand that the courtship, you understand whether that is I'm going out to a bar, I'm going out to an event, I'm going something to meet people face to face. But yet, if you're under a certain age, the threshold for that is nominal. So much of it is digital. So my introduction to you is, hi, that's a hot pick. I'm not sure if that's you or not. Can I send you a picture of Richard Nixon with horns on? So if I'm doing that and I'm sending that over and I'm 20, I'll get a different reaction than I'm on ChristianMingle.com and let me show you my naughty side.
So,
go ahead. Cut me off.
That went through me for a loop. That went through me a loop. You know what I find is very, very interesting, though, is we still want seduction. As human beings, we still want the romance. We still want the tinglies. We still want all of that. But we have risk involved now. That at a level that we probably not been, that have, we, there was always risk involved, but now it's at a different level. And I think that answers your question, is someone has to be, it's like you're in a chess game. and someone has to be willing to show their hand. And I think that I do think that men are a little bit at a disadvantage on that, because we raise young men as to you need to be very this, that, and the other, and I think that's bullshit. I think that one of the most attractive things that the male can do is be willing to expose himself like that and take that risk. I think that what helps a person in that regard is knowing that even if he takes that risk, he'll be fine and be able to, if he is rejected or whatnot, because no one likes rejection. It doesn't matter who the hell you are. You just don't like it, and it doesn't matter where it comes from. But I think that in a great relationship, it's always worth it.
Well, are you on your first date or your third date, or you, or how? I mean, it's all situational and contextual.
It is. That's the reason why this is such a big spectrum.
There can't be any hard and fast rules, because everyone is individuals, mm-hmm. But that's the thing, is that there are people who like to chase, there are people who like to be chased, there are people who don't want to go through all that rigmarole and just be like, I think you're attractive, let's see if we can get this on. And the point is that you need to know what you are, and then find someone that complements you.
Right.
And don't go into the situation with any of these preconceived notions at all. Just try to find someone that's willing to be as honest with you as you are with yourself and
so,
with them.
And I'm going to put something out there. So if we look at music and art as a reflection of where we are as a people, there's a Christmas song, what is it, the whole... Baby is Cold Outside.
God,
thank you.
Yes.
You'd think I might have made a note.
The old scripts.
The old scripts. But that song is about the dance, and I saw a lot of posts at Christmas about this is about slipping a Mickey and drugging the woman and, you know, drug her in by caveman hair and all the rest of this. And then yet you listen to what our popular music is at the time, which they quoted, which was all about slap him on the ass on the dance floor. And I'm going...
Or if you look in most of Selena Gomez's songs, which I love, but they're all about,
exactly.
I'll wait
and
for
Wizards
you, I'll do
Waverly
this.
Place.
And I'm like, really, people?
The hypersexualization of adolescent girls is kind of a problem.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm feeling kind of like an outlier here. I often tell people that the best thing that my parents ever did for me was tell me nothing about sex. Because I figured it all out by myself, which meant that I've never felt that sex was dirty. I never felt that it was shameful. I never felt that I had to be pursued. If I liked you, I liked you. If I didn't like you, I didn't like you. And you could move on.
I'm with you. I'm hearing you. Yes.
And I really appreciate your comments about the kink community, because it was not until I got involved in that I realized that the clubs that I was in were the safest places that I felt as a woman,
mm-hmm.
because
right, yeah.
every man there knew what the boundaries were. They knew
there,
what
there's
the rules
a lot of
were.
Judgment in that area, and it is one of the best exhibits of consent, mm-hmm. as far as teaching
sexual negotiation.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
All of that.
Yeah.
But as a society, we are so about sex, we won't have the conversation. And I have referred people to that. I'm like, go look at this, because you will learn a lot.
Well, the gay folks, we get to negotiate quite a bit too, because again, going in, there are no automatic scripts. You don't assume one person's a top or a bottom or male or feminine or anything like that. You got to learn. You're forced to learn what each person likes and doesn't like on an individual basis.
And I think
which
that
is nice.
One of the things that is a great disservice to women in this society is that we're taught to be
ashamed. Oh, sex is dirty.
Are we? I see. I missed that class.
About it.
I'm
so glad. And we shouldn't say what we want, and we shouldn't say what we don't want, and we should always be nice, and we should not try not to hurt people's feelings.
People have
a
feelings.
A lady in the street and a slut in the sheets.
Be polite. Don't
thing.
Don't
they
hurt his feelings.
That.
Let him win.
But I want you to be all this freak. In the bed. Yes, that is our society. That
yeah.
Is, I don't really subscribe to those belief systems. So.
I love that shirt, by the way.
But yeah.
And I just
He's
never,
so proud of that.
And I just found that it's so much easier if you tell people up front, yeah, I like you. I think you're interesting. Let's talk some more. Mm-hmm. Or, no, you're not really quite my type. You might have better luck moving on.
And when you have conversations with your girlfriends, do you convey that? Here's the thing that I find very, very interesting is I have a fair amount of girlfriends that look at me when I have conversations like this and like you talk about stuff like that. So I think that there are more women that need to have conversations with their girlfriends about being a lot more direct mm-hmm. with their partners about what they want and what they desire.
Yeah,
and be unapologetic
and stop
about
shaming
it.
Each other over
exactly.
Yes,
exactly,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, I always talk
so
to my
that,
girlfriends
that
about
we
that.
Can open the door for our partners, whomever
right.
the partners
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
And then I think that men need more safe spaces where they can convey their vulnerability so that they can have different types of conversations.
Yeah.
And I think that collectively would move us. And then when we move into the trans area and all the other different genders, we all need safe fucking spaces to talk about sex mm-hmm. and relationships and intimacy
mm-hmm.
and
different ways of expressing sexual and romantic
exactly,
intimacy.
Exactly.
Well, I think one of the things that women need to be more cognizant of is that men are not just walking erections. I know.
They kind of have
not after the age of 25. So,
but there are feelings there. There
yeah,
are
vulnerability.
There.
You don't get feelings
there,
till you're like 40.
Yeah. But yes, and that is why I do what I do is so that that I can hold that space for men so that they learn how to express themselves in a better manner in that regard.
Well, guys,
we're already done.
We've had a quick hour. I want to say thank you to everybody.
Scott's
I
like,
can yell.
I want to get to bed.
I want to say thank you to everybody that has come out tonight. I want to say thank you for everybody that has stayed for through an hour of this and how quickly it's gone. It's actually gone much quicker than I thought. I wish we could have gotten to more of you guys' questions. If you found this useful and beneficial, please rate us on the app. Please, rate us for the panel. I'm not soliciting for us, but please say you want more of this content on the panel. I think Scott would agree.
Scott likes any feedback. He's like, just give me feedback.
And apparently you guys keep putting us at, the middle of the night on Saturday nights. And, as long as somebody's bringing me alcohol, I'll talk. But, no, I want to thank all of you very personally for coming out and staying and asking questions and being respectful and for being here for this dialogue. So the next thing I'm going to do is challenge you to go do your own research.
Yeah.
Go talk to your communities. I know how difficult this is to talk to your own families, to talk to people who are going to challenge it. And also, while we all get introspective about things we've done in our past, it's not about guilt. It's about what do you do going forward? Don't be an asshole.
And thank you for coming on and adding so much.
Thank you for asking me. This was great. This is my first panel. Thank you guys for being nice.